All right, so this morning is going to be a little bit of a different message. We're taking a break from Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a good book, but it is a hard book, especially at the beginning. I felt like the Lord was saying to break it up a little bit. It's a hard message that we hear in Ezekiel. It's a message of judgment, and it's hard, but it's necessary, especially in this time. So I'm not minimizing it at all. We will go back to it next week. However, I wanted to talk a little bit about when we talk about the word communion. I know that, especially if you're in a Messianic congregation, if you're in the Messianic congregation to get away from high church or any of those things, well, first of all, let me say that's probably not the best motivation to be in a Messianic congregation. However, I understand. But if that is your motivation, then words like communion kind of may trigger some things for you. So we're going to talk about that today. And I think 2,000 years later, we've kind of lost touch with what Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was saying when he talked about communion. Communion has become a sacrament. It's become a tradition. Sometimes churches, there are some in the high church, in Catholic and Lutheran and some of those churches, they do communion like either every day or every week. Baptist churches do it once a month, usually. Hare Yeshua does it whenever the Lord moves us to do it, like today. And we do it at Pesach because we understand that that is what Yeshua told us to do. But let's talk about today what some of these we're going to talk about a particular verse where Paul, I think, really ties together the purpose of why we come to the Lord's table. And these are things we understand and we know, but many times I think we forget. And so we're going to hopefully talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray you will bless your word this morning. Give us understanding of your word by your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your love and the way you work in the whole body of Messiah. Jew and Gentiles, we sang this morning, Lord, we are one in you. And we thank you for that oneness. And we thank you that you make that possible through your blood that was shed and through your body that was broken for us. And so, Father, we ask once again that you will give us understanding this morning. In Yeshua's name, amen. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. As we were preparing for the coming to the Lord's table at First Baptist this week, I came across this verse, and I was going to just go ahead with Romans there. There's like I was going to go ahead with Ezekiel here, but as I came across this verse, it really struck something inside of me, and something that Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was trying to get across to the body of Messiah. So he says in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Messiah? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Messiah? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Now, I want to skip over several slides here to get to something. And it's that word communion right here. It's called koinonia. So actually what Paul was saying is this cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the koinonia of the blood of Messiah? What does this word mean? Partnership, participation, benefication, big long word, communion, distribution, fellowship. So what Paul is actually saying, Rav Shaul is actually saying in this first verse, is that this is a cup of fellowship. the communion of the body of Messiah, the fellowship or the partnership of the body of Messiah. We are in fellowship with other believers. We are one body in Messiah. Now, this is a concept that I think we need to look at a little deeper. So basically what that means is when we come forward and we partake, remembering the body of Messiah that was broken for us, remembering the blood that was shed for us, we are also entering into a fellowship with the whole body. Because the whole body of Messiah gets our strength and gets our wisdom, gets our understanding, we're going to talk about that in a second, gets our redemption, our righteousness from Yeshua. And so we are partaking together, we are fellowshipping together when we come to this table. We are identifying ourselves as part of that body. This isn't something that should only be done for members of Hare Yeshua or members of First Baptist Church, or if you have particular sacraments when you were younger or whatever. No, this is something open to anyone who has trusted in Yeshua as their Savior. We are all one body. Now, where this became very clear, and you know, it's not something, I mean, it's something I've known and acted on for a long time in my life, but every time we go to the Pastor's Prayer Summit, you see this collection of all these different denominations, I think Heather mentioned it last week, or the week before, that come together, all these different pastors and ministers that come together to worship the Lord together, and we have fellowship. We have 3 days of, how do I put this? 3 days of no program, just prayer, no agenda except for what the Lord puts on our hearts. And we end, or partway through that time, we all partake of the Lord's table together. Because there's that understanding that we are one body. We all have different backgrounds. There's different beliefs about communion even in the room. People don't let that get in the way. And that's how the body should be functioning, the body of Messiah. But let's look at this. We share in the love, power, purpose, and good works, as well as the sufferings of the body of Messiah. Now, what is a body? A body, I have a body, you have a body, okay? My body works together to accomplish things. Right now, my brain is telling my tongue and telling my thoughts, and a lot of different things are happening to make it so that I can communicate. If one of those things fell, then I'm not going to be able to effectively communicate with you. If my tongue suddenly decided to do, you wouldn't understand what I was saying. And so the body has to work effectively together. And I think that that is part of the issue that we have in the body of Messiah today. We are not necessarily working effectively together. Many times we are opposed to each other. In fact, we come up with reasons to be apart from each other instead of reasons to unify. You know, here's my question. Why don't we first think of the reasons why we should be unified before we think of the reasons why we should not be with other people? You ever notice that? There's good reason to not be unified with somebody who doesn't believe in Yeshua. That's different, okay? That's a primary reason to not be in unity. There's people I love, there's people I respect, there's people I'm friends with, but we are not in unity. We are not. They are not part of the body of Messiah. But if you are part of the body of Messiah, if you've trusted in Yeshua, you are my brother and sister in the Lord. Whether your personality fits with mine or not, it's irrelevant. Whether theologically we agree on every fine little point, that's also irrelevant. Whether I'm Torah-centric or Yeshua-focused, that's irrelevant if you truly are a believer. And we need to be focused on the Lord. It is kind of relevant because we should be focused on Yeshua. So that's a part I would say may get a little relevant in fellowship. But my point there is that we need to see each other as part of the body and not be focused immediately on our differences. Now, if somebody's going to come to me and push something different on me, that's a problem. That's where we have that division. And you have whole denominations. I mean, this is ridiculous. We have 66,000 historically in the church. I'm not talking just today, but I mean in the history of the church since the first century, 66,000 denominations. That's insane. Especially when the Lord calls us to be one body. Now, I think in some cases there was maybe a necessity for it. There was a reason for it. And it might have been a good reason. But there's denominations that, you know, argue over, you know, what color the carpet's going to be, and then they split over that. The most ridiculous things. I don't really care. We don't own this building, so we can't change the carpet anyways. That's a good source of unity right there. We can't change the carpet, you know. But you know what? I don't really care what color the carpet. Flaming pink, green with polka dots, I don't care. You know, we can worship the Lord there. Might get a few comments when people walk in. Might be an attraction, you never know. These are not things to argue over, to fight over. Now, there are some things that, yes, seem more important. Financial issues. You know, how often do financial issues destroy marriages, actually, and destroy whole churches, financial issues? They shouldn't. We should work for the unity of the body. But you know what? When that doesn't happen, the Lord still accomplishes His purpose, and we thank the Lord for that. But if you look at this, we share in the love. When we come to this table, we are sharing in His love. We are sharing in His power. We are sharing in His purpose and the good works that He wants to do in and through us. He can do it without us, but He's chosen to work through His body. And we are sharing as well, and this one we all love, don't we? The sufferings of the body of Messiah. And this is where I find people many times jump ship. Oh, I'll share in the love, I'll share in the power, I'll share in the good stuff, but don't give me those sufferings. That must not be of God. If you're going through sufferings, you just don't have enough faith. That's not what Paul says at all. Paul says actually quite the opposite. He says if you're not going through sufferings, there's a problem. There's a problem with faith. There's a problem with because what it probably means is you're not doing the will of God. Because the moment we start to do the will of God, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have sufferings. There's going to be struggle. Because Yeshua, He went through suffering, and we are to be like Him. So yes, when we come to this table, we remember His suffering. And we enter into the fellowship of His suffering. And our suffering then takes on purpose and meaning. We had a youth group last Wednesday, and I had opened it up for the kids to ask questions. And, of course, the kid who first raised his hand is the kid who likes to talk all the time. You know, and I was going, okay, you know, what kind of question is this going to be? But his question was, why do believers have suffering? Very good question. We spent the rest of the evening talking about that, going to Scripture. You know, actually, the only suffering that truly makes sense is the suffering that either brings people to the Lord or the suffering that us as believers go through. That's the only suffering that really has meaning and lasting purpose for all eternity. Just like His suffering has meaning for all eternity. What Yeshua did for us, we will be worshiping Him and glorifying Him and remembering Him for all eternity. You know, when we're up there worshiping the Lord and none of this pain and suffering that we go through now, it affects us anymore. We're in our new glorified bodies. We will never forget why we're there. We're there because of the suffering of Yeshua. And it is also true, those things that you and I suffer for His glory. And by the way, any suffering you're going through can be for His glory. We can choose to give it to Him and let it be for His glory. We can even our consequences can be for His glory. Look at Paul. There were consequences of what he had done. But he turned it around and it became to God's glory. Everything, every suffering, everything you and I go through in our life, we enter into, we share, when we come together, we share in His love, His power, His purpose. His purpose, not ours. His purpose, not our agenda. His agenda, His will being done. We come together to remember what He has done, and so we can also remember that we need to be doing His will every day. Together we are called to accomplish His will and advance His kingdom with Messiah as our head. First of all, let's look at Philippians 3:10. It says, that I might know Him, this is Rav Shaul talking, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. When we die to that old nature, that's suffering. You don't have to be going through persecution or some physical pain or sickness or whatever. All we have to do is try to die to this old nature. That's suffering. That's death. We should be doing that. And that is not easy because our old nature fights tooth and nail to hold on to control, to continue to be in charge. And we have to die every day. Paul says, I die daily. Every day I don't do what I want to do. I do what the Lord tells me to do. And that's a death. Death to that old life. But what does he say? He focuses on that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Also in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works. That's what we were created. We were supposed to be doing good works, His good works. You have to first be created in Messiah Yeshua. Some people run out and they try to do good works and they wonder why God isn't pleased. God isn't interested in my good works. He's not interested in me going and doing good stuff. He's interested in me letting Him work through me to accomplish His good works. That's why you and I have to be created in Messiah Yeshua before we can do those good works. We have to have that new life in Him. We're created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Coming to His table reminds us that we are supposed to be walking in His good works. Just as He has gone before us, we have a task to do. We have something that we should be doing. Not just sitting around and enjoying the Holy Spirit. You know, I was listening to some gospel music and some of it was really good, and there were others where it says, I'm here to get my blessing now. And I'm like, what type of attitude? God, you owe me something. No, He doesn't. Well, yeah, He does. I take that back. He does owe us something. Death. Hell. For our sins. That's what He owes us. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. He owes us death, and yet He's given us a free gift of salvation, a free gift of life because of the blood of Yeshua. Once again, we're brought back to the table, remembering His body broken for us, His blood shed for us, so that no longer do I get what I deserve. I get His favor instead, His grace instead. We should not come into God's presence demanding anything from Him. Seeking it, yes. Asking for it, yes. But not demanding it.
We don't have a right to demand it. We do have the right to ask for it. That right has been given us by the blood of Yeshua and by the body of Yeshua that was broken for us. We now are sons and daughters of God. Think of it from that perspective. I'll tell you what, as a father, if my kid comes into the room going, "You have to give me $10 right now." No, I don't. And I don't care if you're 16, you can find the corner. We don't demand things from God. There's people that treat God that way. That is scary. You want a heart attack instantly? Go ahead and try that. You want God to go, yeah. Because that's what he feels like doing, just like me. What I feel like doing is slapping that kid. I was there when you were born. I cut the cord. You know how many of your diapers I've changed? And you're going to demand $10 for me? I don't think so. You know, the Lord says the same thing to us. You know how many sins I've forgiven? You know how many times? You look at what I have done for you, and you're going to demand something from me? You want to get his nostrils to flare? It says in Scripture, his nostrils flare when he gets angry. No, we don't demand it, but we come understanding that we come with confidence. See, because there's the other side of it too. There's your kid that walks in and goes, "Daddy." "Yes." "Daddy." "Yes." "I want some donuts." "What?" "I want some donuts." "What? Speak up. I can't hear you. I'm getting deaf. I'm 48 almost." "Can I have $10? "What? Can I have $10? "Okay, well, why didn't you just say that the first time? What are you going to use it for?" That question, don't you love that? What are you going to use it for? The Lord already knows when we come and we ask him. But we can come with confidence. We don't have to come, "Oh, I'm sorry." We can come because we have the righteousness of Yeshua. We don't come demanding. But we come in humility before him, but in confidence, because the blood of Yeshua has been shed. We can come right into his throne room and we can say, "Abba, Daddy, this is my need. This is what I need." And he listens and he hears us and he loves us. And most of the time, he's already answered it. He just wanted us to say it. Sometimes he says, "Yes." Sometimes he says, "You need to wait a little bit." Sometimes he says, "You know what? That's not the best thing for you right now. So, not right now." Sometimes he just says, "No." "No. Because I got something better." See, that's the thing. We got our ideas, but God's ideas are so much better. You know, God has told me no quite a few times. In many ways, sometimes almost audibly, but sometimes just by closing doors. But he's told me no. But you know what? He's always done something better. I wanted a great job. I wanted to support my family. I wanted to give millions of dollars to the church, and God said no. "No, you're going to go preach." I didn't know that at the time. That was God's plan, not my plan. I was a computer programmer, had options to go keep doing that, and I felt the Lord going, "No." He knew I couldn't handle it. I couldn't be away from my family that long. I have 6 beautiful children and an awesome wife, and I couldn't be away from them as long as that job would require. God said, "No, I got something way better for you. And something you're going to enjoy because you love talking." Right, Del? Anyways. "He is the vine. We are the branches. We should be bearing good fruit to His praise and glory. So John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, he beareth much fruit. But if you separate from me, you can do nothing.
That was Wesley, New Testament. That's what threw me off. I don't know why that was on there. But
I am the vine, you are the branches. Notice, when we come to the table of the Lord once again, we are reminded that He is the vine and we are the branches. The branches cannot bear fruit unless they're connected to the vine. You want to see good fruit? We should want to see good fruit in our life. You know, what do I mean by good fruit? I don't just mean people coming to know the Lord, although that is good. I mean coming out of me. Love. Love for, let's start with my wife and my kids. There should be good fruit coming forth there. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness. The fruits of the Spirit should be getting born in my life and in your life. That's what it's talking about. There should be good fruit coming out. Not wild grapes, good grapes. Doesn't mean we can't be wild for Yeshua. But He doesn't want wild grapes. Wild grapes are, they do their own thing. That it's fruit that just kind of pops out like it wants to. And if you've ever had grapes that are just out there, you might every now and then get a good one. But most of them are incredibly sour. They're not being tended. They're not being pruned. There's not good source of water unless the grape vine got lucky somewhere. He's the vine, though, and He's attached to the best sort of water. If we're attached to Him, we will bear good fruit. If there's wild grapes coming out, then we're not attached to Him like we need to be. If there's sin and nastiness coming out, that means I'm not attached to Him. It's not His fault. We can't blame Him. Well, God, you just sent me bad stuff this time. That's why the fruit came out this way. There's people that try to do that. They try to blame God for their sin. Well, God, if you hadn't created me this way, I just wouldn't be so angry. You know, I'm part Irish, so that's why I'm angry. If I wasn't part Irish, I wouldn't be so angry. Or temperament. Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't lose my temper as much. I'm part Jewish, so I wouldn't complain. If I wasn't Jewish, I wouldn't complain, but I complain because I'm Jewish. You made me this way. We try to blame God for the bad fruit coming out. That's not God's fault. We need to be attached to the vine. And then good fruit's going to come out. He is the vine. We are the branches. We should bear good fruit. Let's talk about the communion, the fellowship of the blood of Messiah. We just talked about that word a few minutes ago, koinonia. Once again, it means partnership, participation. Notice, you have to be together with this word. One person is not a fellowship. That's why the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's His rule, not mine.
Not the churches, so it can just keep people in some type of bondage or whatever. Some churches may use it that way.
But it's His rule. Why? Because we're all part of one body. And if I'm out there, just imagine, how much can a finger accomplish by itself? Not saying I'm a finger, but how much can it accomplish by itself? It can wiggle along the ground. Maybe it can kind of point. I don't know. But it can't really do anything because it's not connected to anything to tell it what to do, can it? So a finger by itself is just there on the ground with nothing. Can't do anything. Can't accomplish anything. That is what happens when we separate ourselves. And I have people all the time that say, well, I don't go to church. You people are a bunch of hypocrites. It's me and Jesus. That's all I need. Me and Yeshua. That's all I need. Well, here's the problem. Those people usually think they're accomplishing great feats for the Lord, and that no one else is doing anything for Yeshua. Well, why do you think they think that? Because they're not attached. They're not fellowshipping. They might be a believer, but they're not getting that source, that nourishment that we get from the Lord. And we need each other for that, because I need to know that, you know what, I'm not the only one. I don't know everything. I need to know about your struggles. I need to know about your victories, because that's going to help me. I need to see that you guys have gifts. I have gifts, you have gifts that we can share with each other. We don't do that enough. We don't do that enough. I'll take the responsibility for that. But I need to be watching more. And if you have a gift, if you have something to share, then let the leadership know. Let us know. Because we want to participate in this way. We want to fellowship in this way. Working together, but it's all under the head. The head is Messiah. That's the thing. We're not off here doing our own thing over here or over there. It should all be under Yeshua, His direction, His leading. We share in the redemption, cleansing, and the life of the blood of Messiah. By the way, what time is it? Okay, thank you. We share in the redemption, cleansing, and the life of the blood of Messiah. Let's look at Leviticus 17, starting in verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Notice, it is through the blood that we have atonement. This is true with Yeshua. He is that sacrifice. But back here was talking about the animal sacrifices that God had commanded. And he said, "This is I've given it to you for atonement for your soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh. For the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off." Now, this verse has been used against believers. It's been used against those who follow Yeshua. Because it says here, you shouldn't eat blood. And Yeshua said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no place with me. You have no part with me. There's a key thing that we have to remember. First of all, the blood that it's talking here, this sacrifice blood, was not perfect. Was not the blood of our Messiah. This is the blood of animals that were a substitute for our sin. Secondly, once that blood is shed, it's dead. It's dead. The blood of these animals, once it is shed, it goes and it coagulates, it becomes old, and, you know, first of all, blood's not healthy to eat anyways, but it no longer has that properties of life-giving. I want to show you something that was really exciting when I read this. Because this is the blood of our Yeshua, of Yeshua, our Messiah. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what I wanted us to focus on with this is what he says at the beginning in verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us. And what I found out as I was looking at this is that word new and living way. That new way, that new and living way, actually, if you look at that word in the Greek, the living, that particular word is only used in one place, right here. And what it means is a sacrifice that continues, or how do I put it? A sacrifice or an atonement that continues to give life-giving blood. His blood doesn't fall down and just go away. His blood does not coagulate. His blood does not get old. His blood continues to wash, continues to clean. The power of the blood of Yeshua. You could look this word up, and I had it on here, I thought, but I don't see it. But it amazed me when I saw this, because what it is saying is this is a new and living way. It's different from those old sacrifices. Those old sacrifices just covered sins. Paul, in another passage, he says the blood of bulls and goats never took away sin, but it basically delayed the punishment. By faith, they were trusting, saying, God, we're going to do what you tell us to do. And so God delayed. He held back on punishing them. But the blood of Messiah, the blood of Yeshua, it continues to clean. It continues to have its work. It doesn't get old. You don't just use it once and that's it. It has this property that everything it touches gets washed clean. That's what he does in our hearts. The blood of Yeshua is constantly cleansing and washing and making us new. When we come to this table, we partake of that broken body, but the body needs the blood to function. As I said earlier, a finger by itself isn't going to have a source of life coming to it. It's not going to be able to, it's not going to know what to do, and it's not going to be alive. But when we are together, when we are partaking of Him, He's the vine, we are the branches, we are the body of Messiah. We're not the blood, we're the body. But His blood flows through us. His blood gives us continued life, and that continues to have life. He only had to die once, but He continues to give us life through His blood that was shed for us. We share in the redemption, the cleansing, and the life of the blood of Messiah. That second passage is the one I was talking about that really, really offended a lot of people. Then Yeshua said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, new glorified body. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And then finally, let's close with a verse from Colossians 3. And this really wraps this all together, because once again, as I said earlier, we come to this table, we remember the redemption, the body of Yeshua that was broken, the redemption that we have in His blood, the life, the spiritual life that we have flowing through us from His blood that keeps giving life all the time and never stops. I wish I had that word, because it was just so exciting. It's one word in Greek. Look it up. In Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, Hebrews 10, 20 actually, by a new and living way. And it was so exciting for me to see that that is what
Yeshua is for us. He's this living way all the time. And so as we come to the table, we also recognize that this also unifies us. We are unified in Him by remembering what He has done. And so this last verse in Colossians, it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies." This is what He commands us to do. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond, connection, bond of perfection, the perfect bond. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the shalom of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Notice it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. There's a connection between the peace and our unity together. You were called in one body. One of the things that causes my biggest lack of peace is when I have a problem with with another believer. When I've done something to hurt them or they've done something against me. And it takes away that peace until I'm willing to forgive them or willing to go to them and make it right. Maybe they have to forgive me. Maybe I have to forgive them. But the Lord wants us to have that peace and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So Father, this morning, as we have come to your table, we ask that you will draw us closer to you and closer to each other in the unity that you have called us to, in the oneness that you have called us to in your body. Father, that doesn't mean that we're not different. We have differing backgrounds. We have differing views. We come from different cultures and ethnic groups. Lord, you love those differences because, Lord, you have created them. And yet, even with those differences, we can be one in you. We can have love for each other. We can be unified. We can accomplish your will and your purpose. But we cannot do it alone. We need you and we need each other. We need the power of your Holy Spirit working through us. And so, Father, I pray that you will unify us, that we will be your body, that we will function in the different gifts that you have given us so that this body functions in the way that you want it to, Lord, that we are able to accomplish your purpose here in paradise and in Chico and on the ridge and wherever you have us, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask that you will do this to your glory and to your honor. We thank you once again for everything that you have done for us, and we pray in Yeshua's name, amen. Blessing over the bread. This is a bread that we bless and we thank God for his provision. You see the difference? This is communion, fellowship. This is thanking God for his provision. There's also some fellowship involved here. And afterwards, please have some of this. I would ask that you leave enough for other people. Last week, the bread disappeared. Like half of it disappeared. Somebody really likes challah. So try to leave enough unless everybody else is gone and there's some left and you can have it. You know, whatever. So, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. blessing over the fruit of the vine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha vehunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Remember to give...